You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The final countdown. Let's do a little election preview, shall we? Ned Ryan is here to break down some great stuff. Steve Bannon is finally out of prison. We're going to talk to him about that. Final thoughts and more coming up on I'm Right. Is there anything going on in politics we should be talking about tonight? I know. It's the night before the election, and I know you're antsy, maybe even a little bit stressed about it. Before we get into all that, let me just first say this. Tomorrow, all day long, you can be right here on the first, and we'll have you covered with analysis as the numbers come in. My election night coverage is going to come tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, right here on the first, but all day long, election time, okay? So you don't have to change the channel. Now, let's also discuss this. And believe me, I'm very, very confident about tomorrow, which I'll get to in a moment. But we have to have this talk beforehand so we can get our minds right, so we can get our hearts right. Okay. Saving a country and losing a country is not an event. It's a process. It is not an event. It is a process. If we lose tomorrow night, yes, it will be devastating, absolutely devastating. Maybe mortally wounded. Maybe it will be. But we will still have a million battles to fight. What matters is we stay in the fight and stay after it. And if we win tomorrow night, maybe this is even more important. If we win tomorrow night, I will be right there with you. Woo, best night ever. You know, let's say we take the White House and the House and the Senate and your local elections go well. And I believe me, it's not like I'm above this or separate from it. I'll be there with my wife cheering and celebrating. If it happens while I'm on the air, you're just going to see Smiley Jesse all over your television set. I'm with you. But then, Wednesday, the work continues. The fight continues. We have a long way to go, and the fight is going to remain, no matter what. Win, lose, no matter what, the fight will be here on Wednesday morning, I promise. Remember that. Now let's talk about what we have here. I want you to picture this. We are on a boat. It's just you and one other guy, all right? You and one other guy. It's a small boat. You're out in the middle of this gigantic lake. And you want to get the boat to shore so you can be safe. There's a storm coming. You want to get the boat to shore. And you know you have to get to shore in order to save yourself and the friend who's in the boat with you. The guy who's in the boat with you has lost his mind. He's an insane person. And he also wants to save you and him and everybody. But he believes the best way to save that boat is to pull out a chainsaw and saw a big hole in the bottom of it so the boat sinks to the bottom, which will obviously kill both of you. That is the exact situation we are in right now as a country. And it's a very, very frightening situation. The stakes for tomorrow are so high because that's the situation we are in. We now share a country with a bunch of America-hating demons who believe the highest good, the greatest good, is burning the country to the ground. And we have to fight back against that. I was actually thinking about this morning. I was just sitting around brewing on the election, and the stakes are so high. And I was walking myself through this whole thing, and I was thinking, well, why am I so antsy about it? Why are the stakes so high? So here it is. Let's make this about one subject here. If Democrats win, they will open up the border and flood the country with another 20 million barbarians. You understand that it shouldn't be that way. Oh, a presidential election should always matter. And there will be policies that come with it, maybe taxes higher here, or different foreign policy there. I understand the two parties are different. I get that at all. But you should never find yourself in a country like we are in now, where if one of the two parties wins, they'll just simply destroy the borders of the country and flood it with barbarians. That's not a place you should be, but that's where we are. And so how do we even get here? Well, we live in a country, we share a country, again, with the crazy guy who's lost his mind, and he lives in a world of make-believe. And Democrats have lost their mind, and they live in that world of make-believe because Democrat politicians and the media behind them in the education system are constantly out there saying things just like this.
Why would you place your faith in somebody who instituted a so-called Muslim ban? Who sat down for pleasantries with Holocaust deniers? Who said that there were very fine people on both sides of a white supremacist rally?
That was all a lie. Every single thing he said there, Barack Obama, speaking to a huge crowd right before the election, every single thing he just said is a lie. And your liberal Aunt Peggy, who's got the Harris Walls sign in her yard, she believes all of those things. She believes Donald Trump put in a Muslim ban. There was never a Muslim ban. That was something the media came up with and Democrats ran with. That's not a thing that ever happened, ever. Your liberal Aunt Peggy thinks it is. Your liberal Aunt Peggy believes that Donald Trump called Nazis very fine people. I need to once again remind everybody what Donald Trump said that day is, one, not that at all, and two, it's on camera. I don't have to rely on his word or heard from a guy who heard from a guy. If you or your liberal Aunt Peggy want to know what Donald Trump said that day, we live in an era where you can pick up your telephone and learn what Donald Trump said. And it's not that at all. Yet your liberal Aunt Peggy believes it, and she will be at the polls tomorrow canceling out your vote based on things she knows to be true that are a complete lie. We share a boat with people trying to sink the boat. And maybe, just maybe we owe Joe Biden a debt of gratitude because Joe Biden's mind is so melted into goo that Joe Biden, who was finally let out of his cage and let onto a camera somewhere, was very, very honest. People were mad about what Joe Biden said with his comments last week. This is how every Democrat thinks.
Just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Okay, you just saw it on camera. Why does your liberal Aunt Peggy not know that he said that? Well, because of this.
Now, the White House says that Biden wasn't talking about Trump's supporters. They even released a transcript last night where they inserted an apostrophe in the word supporters.
There's an apostrophe there. He's talking about his supporter, meaning the comedian, his comments.
As someone who had a stutter growing up, It's very obvious to me that there's an apostrophe at the end of supporters there. He was referring to the garbage spewed by supporters, not simply the supporters themselves.
The question is, John said, of an apostrophe, really.
It's a nothing burger.
Joe Biden has never been a big arena speaker.
We are at a low point when it comes to our political rhetoric, and I think we should point out that that's been driven largely by the last 8+ years of former President Trump.
Your liberal Aunt Peggy lives in a world of make-believe. And I think maybe the coup de grace on this, that was Washington Free Beacon who put that montage together. The Daily Wire went out to a Harris rally. You want to hear what you're up against tomorrow? You want to meet the man you're sharing that boat with in the middle of the lake? Watch this.
So tell me a bit about Trump's agenda and what about it is most scary, most concerning to you.
He says that he's going to take anybody who disagrees with him and put them in jail. And from there, he's going to deport them out of the United States altogether.
And I think he wants to basically turn this into a white Christian nation, which it is not.
He hates everyone. He hates his followers, and he will totally try to destroy all life on earth before he dies. That's who the Trump is.
He is. He's a Nazi. He's a fascist. Of course he is.
Yes, I think he's a full fascist authoritarian.
What I will say to you is if he wins in November, it is going to be the birth of the American Nazi Party with him as the top of it.
They don't get to be the Nazis on our street. They don't get to turn our police into, you know, their Gestapo. F*** them. They want to bring on the violence, America will kick their ass.
Well, thank you very much. Any last message you want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, love wins in the end.
Oh, love wins in the end. That's what we're up against. We don't have to be happy about it. We don't have to celebrate it. But that's what we're up against tomorrow. Bring a friend. Text a friend. I've already voted. Good. Have your neighbors? Do you know? Take an hour off work tomorrow and drive people to the polls. Tomorrow matters a lot. Let's dig in and do the work. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have an amazing show for you tonight. I'm so excited to talk to Ned Ryan, Steve Bannon. I'm so excited for Pure Talk because it saves me a bunch of money. It's not just that Pure Talk is the cell phone company that shares our values. I love that. That matters a lot. Pure Talk, they're on the same 5G network as the big guys, so you're not sacrificing that. I pay half. We switched from T-Mobile. We have four lines as a family. We switched from T-Mobile, and our bill got cut in half. And when I pay my cell phone bill every single month, I don't pay people who hate my freaking guts anymore. Verizon hates you. AT&T hates you, T-Mobile hates you, Pure Talk loves you, and switching is easy. You can keep your phone. You keep your phone number. You go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and make the switch. It's cake. How about that for patriotism? All right, we'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, You'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's a very human nature thing? To deny when things are really bad, when things are going poorly, when the ship's going down. It's human nature thing to say, we'll fix it, we're going to deny it. And we do this really a lot with the state of our country right now. You know, we have this election coming up and we're hopeful that we're going to have a big night and Trump's going to win and we're going to turn this thing around. But we talk about what will happen if Trump loses. Let's talk about what's already happening in this country. It's already happening. We have political prisoners. My entire life as an American, we've picked up the newspaper, or anymore it's our phones, and we've looked at a country like Russia, and we said, well, Putin's locking up his political opponent. What a dirtball. Yeah, that happens here. It happened to the man we're about to talk to, a guy who did 4 months in prison and never said a freaking peep. I so respect that. Steve Bannon, host of The War Room, and maybe I should refer to him as political prisoner now instead of host. Steve, welcome out. How was the food?
Food is what you would imagine. You've served your country. You know the kind of food you get served. So it's not the great. No, Jesse, did you ever think in serving your country and getting in politics when you did, that we ever be in a situation that opposite politicians or opposite people working in media and politics would be put in a federal prison for a misdemeanor for months at a time? But did you ever think we'd come to that?
No, Steve, and I'll tell you something. It's funny you brought up that aspect of it, because I have so many friends who I served in the Marines with, and so many just GWAT veterans I'm friends with. Global War on Terror, I'm sorry for everybody. Global War on Terror friends I'm friends with. And, Steve, it saddens me and sickens me how often I get a text message that's something along the lines of, I didn't serve for this. We didn't serve for this. What is this? Guys who have fought and bled for this country are so disenfranchised by just the last 4 years, Steve, by the kind of crap they pulled with you. Man, it sickens me. It does. It saddens me a great deal.
Well, you're the generation. You're the guys who got to turn this around, because it's outrageous. You think of the battlefield casualties where we fought in the 21st century, and to see what's happened in the last couple of years. And hey, if we don't represent tomorrow, and actually turn as first multipliers, is only going to get worse.
Yeah, that's a fact. All right, for those who don't know, everyone on this show, everyone who watches this show knows, but maybe there's someone who doesn't. What happened to you? How'd you end up in prison? What crime did you commit?
Well, it was a misdemeanor. First off, Danbury's been around since 1939. They've never had a misdemeanor ever in the prison. It's a, you know, obviously, you got to be a felon. It's simple. They had a committee. That committee was illegally structured because it didn't have a ranking member, didn't have minority counsel. They wouldn't let Nancy Pelosi would not let the choices of Kevin McCarthy on at the time, which was Jim Jordan and Banks out of Indiana. She handpicked Cheney and others that were kind of her toadies to be on this. So it wasn't an official committee. And when I got subpoenaed, I had a lawyer, and the lawyer looked at it and said, the president said, exerted executive privilege, which is his right to do on any person who's giving him advice. He exerted executive privilege. Also, the structure of the committee wasn't legitimate. And so I didn't respond, and I notified them I didn't respond. They immediately voted and sent it to the Justice Department as a criminal complaint. Normally, these go over civil complaints. They sent it as a criminal complaint. And for the first time in the history of this country, somebody was held in contempt of Congress as a misdemeanor and sentenced to 4 years in a federal prison. And so I just served the term in prison and just got out. But that's the chain of custody of that is Nancy Pelosi's illegitimate committee. And this is the same committee. People have to understand this hasn't gone away. This is what Jamie Raskin's going to bank on, the findings of that committee, going to say, hey, Bannon went to prison. Navarro went to prison. That committee sent a criminal complaint to the Justice Department on Trump on 5 charges. A grand jury has indicted him on 3 of them. He's still in court in federal court. That hasn't been dismissed yet. That judge is going with the crazy Jack Smith is going forward. They're going to say on January 6th that Trump is ineligible because he's an insurrectionist. They're not. Jamie Raskin is blatant, and he said basically the same thing on Bill Maher the other night. They're not going to certify Trump's election. They're going to draw a line in the sand and say he's an insurrectionist, the people ran him an insurrectionist, and we're not going to certify him. So don't think the January 6th committee has gone away. That's why it's got to be, you know, we got to investigate it, we got to adjudicate it, not just for the J6 prisoners, many of whom I serve with in Danbury, but also the fact of they're trying to use it to crush President Trump.
Steve, as a side note, we'll get back to the Raskin stuff. How are the other January 6th guys doing? Obviously, everyone knows about Trump's trials, and Steve Bannon is a name everyone knows, so you're obviously going to get a lot more publicity, understandably so. But there are a lot of forgotten men and women who've been caught up by this evil Justice Department that we talk about on the show, and it breaks my heart. You know, nobody speaks up for them. Very few people do. How are they holding up?
They're very brave patriots, but they're not doing well. Remember, most of these people are working class or low middle class. You can't make a living when you're in there. Their families are under tremendous stress. I don't think they're doing well at all. And a lot of these people, there was a guy in my cell block that was down the was in a cell a couple down from me that got 15 years. He was tied up. They said that he put bear spray out. It's all nonsense, but they gave him, I think, 10 to 15 years. There's other there that have multiple years and they can't earn any income while in prison. And so their families are essentially destitute. The pressure on these guys has been tremendous. I know President Trump will review all this when he takes office, but no, the January 6th guys. And if you hear the horror stories of what they went through in pretrial confinement in DC, which is a rat's nest, if you hear what they did, and if it wasn't for MTG and Matt Gaetz and others that went there and tried to get them better treatment, it was horrible. This shows you how inhuman Merrick Garland and the Justice Department are. If you hear the stories of these people, you realize that Merrick Garland's people are some of the worst people on earth.
Steve, if we get a Trump victory tomorrow, you mentioned Merrick Garland. Obviously, there are a lot of agencies that need a lot of clean out, but there's nothing more important than cleaning out this disgusting DOJ. Is this something Trump is going to be able to tackle right away? Because he's going to have to, even if they certify him, the DOJ is going to come for him.
There's no doubt. I think you got to dual track this. Number one, look, in the first week or two of his second term, we hit the debt ceiling, the tax cuts reverse. We don't have a budget. Remember, I don't think they're going to allow an omnibus. Trump's not going to allow it. That's going to kick in. The government's going to run out of money. He has three major, massive financial issues that has to be dealt with right away. In addition, the deportation of 15 million people, starting with the criminals. So you have the border wall, you have this massive problem of 15 million illegal aliens in the country just on Biden's watch, and you got these major financial problems. He's got to get something done on DOJ. But I think the way he's got to do that is with Gaetz and Jordan and others, start the investigations in the House, particularly get into the DOJ. His attorney general, other people are strong. Read all these IG reports. The deconstruction of the FBI and the DOJ has to be done with complete transparency. The American people need to see exactly what happened. I think you redo a panel around J6 that has Democrats have a ranking member. They have a minority counsel that gets to see all the evidence, and we start to really adjudicate some of these issues in front of the American people. I think you dual track that. I think the financial, economic, geopolitical, and the sovereignty issues are so big. He's got to tackle those in the first 100 days.
Yeah, no question about it. Steve, what is your final message? I know you're a busy man. Before tomorrow night, what is your message to the American people?
Just remember, they're never going to give up. We have to, step one, we've already cut out, they have no firewalls. The early voting could not have gone better for us. Tomorrow you have to represent as a force multiplier. Bring as many people as you know. The House is almost as important as the presidency here. President Trump has to have a Republican House. We have to hold the House or pick up a couple of seats. Don't think this is going to be called early. This is going to take a while. You've got to hunker down. The team around President Trump on the legal side is 10 times better. President Trump has a lot of support. Just hunker down and understand we got to go through this process and then just have President Trump's back. This is going to be a long, tough fight. They're not going to just sit there and toss us the keys, but we have to win tomorrow. But the bigger numbers we put up outside the margin of outstanding votes on mail-in and other things will lead them to call it earlier and to us to get on actually getting certified, because they're going to fight his certification tooth and nail. Mark Elias and Jamie Raskin are going to fight a rearguard action here. They're not going to quit. And the only way we can get beyond that is put up as big a score as possible tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt. Steve, I'm glad you're out, my friend. Please come back soon. Appreciate you very much. All right. We'll talk to Eric Bowling, see if he has anything to say in a moment. Before we talk to him, let's remember that babies, they die a lot in this country, in the womb. And it's not just that they die, they're killed by their mothers, by doctors, by young women who believe it's a clump of cells, that it's nothing, it's just a little surgical procedure. It's like getting your tonsils out, of course. So how do we fight back against that? Well, we have to be the truth. We have to be the light in the darkness. And that's what preborn is. You see, they give the gift of ultrasound to these women who are about to abort their babies. That's how you let that mother know that that's what she is. When you hear that heartbeat, something from God, you choose life almost every time. $28 is what that ultrasound costs. But whatever you give to preborn, it's all tax deductible. Give them as much as you can, much as you want. Doesn't matter. Give. Go save a life. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to Eric Bolling, I need to get to Eric Bolling news, meaning our news for tomorrow night, election night. As I have already told you, you don't have to go anywhere. We're going to have you covered wall to wall with everything, the results as they come in, guests, and one of our primetime hosts for tomorrow night is going to be the man who joins us right now, Eric Bolling, host of Bolling, which you can watch on YouTube. Go like, go subscribe to it. Okay, Eric, I am excited, and that is making me nervous because I'm so excited about tomorrow night, and every single time I get excited about an election like this, and it ends up in horrific disaster. Talk me off a ledge. How are we doing?
So, Jesse, good to be with you, my friend. Thank you for having me on. 2016, if you remember, I was at Fox, and if you remember back very, very accurately, I was probably the first, I think it was the first person on major television to support Trump. I was just come from the business world. I saw he was going to do something different. Sean Hannity, very shortly thereafter, came on board. Sean, who's a dear, dear friend of mine, one of my best friends in the world, was Ted Cruz, as was Mark Levin, another good friend of mine. They were Ted Cruz first, and then it became obvious that it wasn't going to be Cruz, it was going to be Trump, and they loved Trump, and they were super supportive. I saw it in 2016, and everyone said, well, Hillary's got 91% chance to win. And what I saw was there was more enthusiasm for Trump. Didn't matter what the polls were. Polls were showing she was going to kill him. He beat her. 2020, a little more nervous. I wasn't so sure anymore, but I still felt, and they also had Biden killing Trump. I still felt it was good for him, but I wasn't so sure. Right now, I am so sure. I'm as confident about 2024 as I was in 2016 because the momentum shifted at the right time for him. He came out of the box strong with Biden. Then all of a sudden, she got the ball. She got the momentum. She got the money. And then she failed. She started opening her mouth. And we realized, and the cool thing about it was they waited so long to put her in and they didn't vet her. They should have seen that she didn't get any votes when she was running for actual president. They screwed up, and it was fine for a while until recently. And with these whole stumbling issues that she's had with policy, with inflation, with, you know, anything financial she can't answer. And then Biden put his foot in his mouth with garbage. And you know, anyone who follows Trump as a female is weak and stupid. They screwed up late in the game. And as you know, Jesse, you're a sports person like I am, I assume. You got the momentum in the fourth quarter. You're going to win the game. And I think he's going to, I say 291 electorals.
Oh, well, now that is quite a call shot. And I've seen similar projections like that. And okay, so if that's the case, and I don't actually disagree with you, which again makes me nervous, I feel like we have a great night coming. What was the major screw up on their part? Was it simply picking Kamala Harris? Her personality's so bad. She doesn't do politics that well. Was that really the problem? Or is it just they can't overcome inflation and immigration, which I realize they have to own, but is it more issues? What is it?
No, I think you're right. I think the first one, I think what, in the way I understand it, and this is, you know, again, not, I haven't heard it from the source, but what I understood was after the Biden-Trump debate, when Biden realized it wasn't going to be him because everyone came down on him from Barack Obama to George Clooney, said, you can't be the nominee. He realized it was over for him. The word is that if you remember, they've kind of talked about a little bit prior to that maybe there should be several Democrats that do kind of a mini primary. And I think the Democrat infrastructure, including Obama, wanted to do that. But Joe Biden at that moment said, Kamala Harris is your person. And I think he knew how flawed she was. I think he knew how really, they say an empty suit. Well, she's an empty suit. She has nothing up here. Certainly for the numbers, she has nothing up here. And she's all just talk sound bites and it ends up being word salad. I think he knew that. So he pushed them to her because he knew that she would be least likely to be Trump. And I think he's done everything in his power to do to if not him, maybe he's not cognitively aware enough to do this. I think his people, his infrastructure, his advisors are trying to undermine Kamala and have Trump win. And so he can say, see, you should have stuck with me. The reason why I say that, the first time he's ever come to the briefing room in 4 years was the moment early on where Kamala did her first speech in Michigan. She was on the rally stage and Joe Biden enters the briefing room and makes news. It's like, there's no mistake there. That wasn't a misstep or miscommunication of schedules. That was purposeful, whether it's Biden himself or his staff who are sticking it to Kamala. They want to stick it to her. And I think that garbage comment, that was planned.
You know, I really can't disagree with you on that because there's so much evidence that points to Kamala Harris being Joe Biden's poison pill in this election. And if that's the case, that's just so fantastic. I wanted to ask you real quick, Eric, about this. Money decides the election. You have a video up on YouTube. I want people to go watch it. Money decides the election. What are you talking about?
Right. So we hear all these polls. First of all, I've never believed polls. Polls are absolute garbage. Pollsters take polls. And what I love to do, I do this when you have more time, but you dig into the poll and dig into the methodology. There is so much information in methodology, how they ask the questions, how much did they skew the poll towards Democrats and why? And usually you can pick out ways to push a poll in a direction. So these pollsters are all coming up with every single swing state within the margin of reason, within margin of error. There's no way you can survey 800 people and come up with the same thing with poll after poll after poll. It's not going to happen. It's not happening that way. No one wants to step out. No one wants to be the outlier. Someone in Iowa, Ann Seltzer, decided she wanted to be an outlier, of course, in the direction of Kamala Harris, which is highly unusual, but she did it and late in the game, probably way too late to matter. Throw the polls out, watch what's happening, look at enthusiasm levels, and look at money. Look at the betting sites. The betting sites are massive amounts of money being thrown in it. And the last I checked on my Robinhood account, which I have, and I bet on the Robinhood account, Trump has he's like 58 and she's 43. Now, it doesn't add up to exactly 100 because there's vig in there for both sides. But the point is, it's not close. It's not a 50-50 by any means, or 52-52, which it could be. It's 58 or 56 and 44, 43. The money is betting on Trump, heavily betting on Trump. And then you look at things like, and then you look at Truth Social. Truth Social was $14 a share a month ago. Jumped up to 50, back down to 30, 40, but it's not $14. And if Trump's not going to be president, I'm going to tell you it's probably going to be zero. If he doesn't win the presidency, Truth Social, the DJT stock on the stock market would go to a zero. But now, right now, they're betting that I think it's worth $8-9 billion right now. $8 or $9 billion are saying Trump's the next president.
Eric, what's your prediction for if we are successful tomorrow night? What's your prediction for how they react? These are not human beings who are going to take this well. I think everybody knows that, but what are they going to do?
Boy, wow. Unfortunately, I think if Trump doesn't prevail, and I think he should, like I said, I think he's the clear winner, certainly has a momentum. I don't know. I don't know what MAGA does. I don't know. Let's not call it MAGA. Let's call it the faction of MAGA that is really juiced to create havoc if he doesn't win. Let's be honest. My show is called Balling, but it's truth. I do truth bombs in the show. Everything's about truth, transparency, and trust. And I got to tell you, I think if Trump loses, I'm going to be in D.C. on Wednesday, the day after. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I really don't think it's going to be pretty if Trump loses. Yeah. If he wins with the other side, we'll have a bunch of those liberal moron ladies with the pussy cat hats going, crying. But you see a lot of that, but that's it. Our side tends to get a little bit more, the faction of our side that gets a little bit more vocal. They may do some stuff. I hope they don't, but let's be honest. Let's be truthful here. It probably won't. We'll have some video. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Eric, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. Let's talk about some important stuff. Blocking and tackling, how to win elections, shall we? Before we do that, do you want to think clearly? I mean, you see all over the place what happens when the brain starts getting foggy and you can't put thoughts together. Are you going through this? Testosterone levels going up clears up your mind. as you get older. I lost my train of thought and I'm kind of tired. That's because your T levels are getting low. Raise them back up naturally. Don't go sticking needles in your arm naturally. That's what a male vitality stack from Chalk is all about. Natural herbal supplements. They have female vitality stacks and male vitality stacks. Chalk lip powder to start your day with vitamins and minerals. Go. My friends at Chalk are waiting. CHOQ.com/JesseTV saves you a bunch of money. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Blocking and tackling, the unsexy things. You know, we all, it's election, obviously, season. Does it even count as season when it's tomorrow? But it's election season, and we're all into it. We're all into it. But some of us are doing something, and some of us are fans. That's just the bottom line. And maybe that's you. And if you feel bad about what I'm about to say, I'm sorry, just change it next election cycle. You want to have a big red wave tomorrow, Trump to win and House and all that. Have you done something about it? Anything? No, wearing a MAGA hat is not doing something. That is not. Have you done any blocking and tackling? Stuff you won't be celebrated for. No one's going to cheer you on the internet. Oh, you just made 100 phone calls down at campaign headquarters. That's the stuff that matters. Joining me now, the guy who's been doing a lot for quite some time, Ned Ryan, author of the book American Leviathan. Ned, you've been all over the whole blocking and tackling thing in this election. As a whole, how are we doing? From the outside looking in, it looks like we're doing better than I've ever seen. But what am I looking at?
No, you're correct, Jesse. This whole project I've been doing with American Majority Action really began coming out of the midterms in 22 when I honestly had to pick myself up off the floor. I was so depressed from the midterm results and thought I'd missed everything in politics. I wasn't sure even what I knew about politics at that point. And sifting through the rubble of the midterms, realized a lot of these states, these key states, had not done any absentee ballot generation or chase. And so I determined after that it would never happen again, and put plans in place, pitched donors, and got the money secured really beginning of 23 to do pilot projects in Louisiana, Virginia to demonstrate, you know, we've got to start generating more absentee ballots among mid to low prop voters. We have to put teams in place to actually chase the ballots in to get no less than 80% in. And then those that don't get a ballot, we need to push them to go vote early as soon as possible, especially the mid to low prop voters. Succeeded in 23 with those pilot programs in Louisiana, Virginia, and then pitched these donors and said, we got to go to four key battleground states in 24, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, and North Carolina. And, you know, we've had about 1,600 people in the field, Jesse. It's been pretty hard. I won't lie. This has been a pretty significant project, but it's worthwhile. And the historical things that we are seeing right now, not only in those four states I mentioned, but other states as well, like Georgia, it's pretty incredible to see what Republicans have done in regards to absentee ballot return and early vote statistics. For example, let me just point out Nevada. We've had a team of over 300 people in Nevada, in Clark County, and people have begun to realize something very different is going on this year in 2024 in Clark County. There's no blue wall. And in fact, as of today, Republicans were leading the state by over 43,000 votes, Jesse, causing real consternation among Democrats because they don't understand what's going on. And so then people ask me, so with this absentee ballot and early voting push net, have we cannibalized our election day voters? Not nearly as much as they have, Jesse. So not only have we put Republicans in the lead in Arizona and Nevada and North Carolina and given us a real fighting chance in Wisconsin coming into election day, if we perform as we should, according to historical trends on election day, I feel very confident that we are going to have some very good results to report tomorrow night.
Okay, Ned, you have this team of 1,600 people. You've been chasing down these ballots. Can you explain who these 1,600 people are? Why are they here now and they weren't before? What got them up off the couch, got them involved? What happened?
Focus and funding, Jesse. I was determined to make this a focus for the grassroots, for the Republican Party writ large, and then funding. This has not been a focus of Republicans outside of Florida recently for us to do absentee ballot generation and chase. I determined that was never going to happen again. So it became one of those things that this is going to be a focus. We did trainings through American Majority, our C3, starting really at the beginning of 2023 to say, hey, ballot out, ballot in. That's the initiative. You have to get comfortable with that. And then come 2024, we're going to start paying people to do doors, phones, texting, layered in some postcards, did all this, some auxiliary stuff. But it was a matter of us having the focus and the funding to be able to accomplish this. And honestly, Jesse, I think it's all going to work. I think this is above and beyond what I thought it would be coming into election day. And the other thing, too, I'll tell you about this. I told you about Nevada. Look at Wisconsin. Joe Biden was up 640,000 votes going into election day in 2020, only held off by about 20,000 votes. Kamala is barely in the lead, barely over 200,000 votes, over 400,000 votes short of where Joe Biden was coming into election day in Wisconsin. So I think it's put some of these states into play that we thought, you know, we've got to win them to give Donald Trump a chance to get to the White House again.
Ned, explain this chasing ballot process. And I want you to explain it in this way. There are a lot of people watching who want to be involved. They want to be part of what you're talking about. And while they may not be able to be involved now, in the future, we have a lot of battles to win. Yep. So can normal people do this?
Yes. Yeah, these are normal people. You know, of the 1,600 people, 1,200 of them are just grassroots workers, people that are in the various states that we've said, we need you to be a part of this. I've hired some people to do some door knocks, an outside firm to layer in some of the stuff I'm doing. But the overwhelming majority of these are just grassroots people that were paying an hourly wage for doors, hourly wage for phones, to be out there doing these things. But Jesse, my goal is, first of all, we have to win tomorrow night. We have to have a spectacular election day. I feel good about that. But this has to become second nature for us. We have to go continue on in 2025 and beyond and say, we're going to turn Arizona into Florida. We're going to turn Nevada into Florida, Wisconsin, North Carolina, all these into Florida, and actually get it to the point where we feel that we've got these states changed in such a way that the electoral map has changed considerably since 2028. in 2028, so that there's not that many battleground states. And so everyday people have to get comfortable in realizing this ballot chase, and let me explain in very simple terms, it's a series of targeted harassment. We know who has a ballot in, say, Arizona. Every day that list changes, we do calls, as we do door knocks, as we do texts. So the next day the list is smaller, 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 until people return their ballots. Once they return their ballots, we remove them from the list so we can then refocus our efforts to go after those ballots that are still outstanding. So as we come down the home stretch, once we exceed that 80% return, we keep on pushing and pushing and pushing to try and get to maybe 81, 82, 83% to push that margin out even further.
Ned, explain the gender gap panic. Obviously, everyone knows in general, women are going to get the Democrat. Democrats are going to get the woman vote. Republicans are going to get the man vote. As of right now, more women have voted than men. Why shouldn't I be panicking today?
Well, we're looking at election day turnout for tomorrow, like, say, in Pennsylvania. And we feel pretty confident that if we do our efforts correctly, if those that work in Pennsylvania, I'm not there, but if they do their efforts correctly, you're going to see a significant uptick in the male vote. We've got a lot of high propensity voters that are still on the sidelines that are going to be coming out tomorrow in Pennsylvania. I think you're going to close down that gender gap significantly. Do I think it'll still be majority women? I do. Do I think it'll be less than it was in 2020? 100%.
Ned, all right, that's enough of the White House talk. We have a House to win. We have a Senate to win. We don't have to go into the individual states, but the House and Senate are critical, absolutely critical. Yep. How are those races looking? Because you look at a lot of these polls, places like Arizona, and you see Trump is up, Carrie Lake is not. How do the down ballot races look? Because they matter a lot.
They do. I think we're going to pick up for sure three Senate seats. West Virginia is a done deal. I think Montana was over weeks ago. I'm pretty sure Bernie Moreno is going to get those coattails from Donald Trump in Ohio and pull that seat out. And I have to tell you, Jesse, as we're closing as hard as we are with the ABEV coming into Election Day, I just get the sneaking suspicion we're going to take another Senate seat or two. My best bet, and in descending order, my best bets would be this. Pennsylvania is a potential strong potential with Dave McCormick. And then you got Eric Hovde would be my second pick in Wisconsin. And I have to tell you, if Trump closes as hard as I think he is and we expand that lead in Arizona, don't be surprised if suddenly Carrie Lake comes across the finish line first. And I have to tell you, one of the surprises, if things go really, really well on the East Coast tomorrow night as we go out west, Sam Brown might sneak it. He's a long shot, I'll tell you that. It's very much a long shot. But we're going to pick up the Senate and the House. I think we're probably going to end up with a slim majority, 10, 15 seats. But I'm starting to get more optimistic. And the reason I say that is we picked North Carolina for a reason, not only because it's a key battleground state. There are four House pickup opportunities because the Supreme Court redrew the lines. I think we're picking up three of those four seats, and we might pick up the fourth tomorrow night, but it's going to be close.
Oh, fingers crossed. Ned, you are the man, my brother. Let's hope we're celebrating tomorrow. I'll toast to you if we do. Thank you for your work. All right. I have the final thoughts next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra,
You'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones.
We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, final thoughts. I know I don't. Your palms are probably sweating. I get it. Like we talked about in the opening, the stakes are high. But I understand it completely. Just remember, look, we're going to be right here with you. You want to watch it? You want to watch it with me? Go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC. Starting at 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night, there's going to be my radio simulcast. You can watch me do my show right after that, 9 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be right here on camera for an hour and a half as the results are coming in. So we'll all go through this together. And let me remind you of this. You've heard me say this before. I know the stakes are high. I know it's really important, honestly, possibly country-ending stuff. However, saving a country is not an event. It is a process. Saving and losing a country is not an event. It is a process. If tomorrow night comes and the worst happens, we'll hurt for a night, and then we'll get up and the fight continues, okay? Just remember, no matter what, the fight continues. Even if we win, and I think we will, like I said, I think we will win. The fight continues. That's when the work actually starts, all right? All right, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones.
We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.